Okay, I'm feeling a little dry tonight. All right, and it's because of my cold. I should have had a good cup of coffee before I came, I guess, or something. But the reason I want to pursue this is because, doggone it, we've got a war. Let's win it. I'm a little bit tired of the Vietnam syndrome. And by that I mean this, is that there was a feeling in Vietnam by the soldiers, let's do it, let's win it. But they didn't get that kind of support from on top. So it was a kind of a, well, let's just stay in this battle, more like a game than anything. And it's not a game. We have a Vietnam syndrome, and it's not coming from on top because a commander wants to take his objective. It's coming from underneath. We don't have enough people that have the heart to do what he wants us to do. And I don't mean go overseas, and I don't mean stay here. I mean simply obey. And in obedience, if that means you go overseas to proclaim the gospel, you go. And if obedience means you stay here to witness at Boeing, you know, you do. And the added benefit is that Mr. Boeing is paying your check and supporting your ministry. Okay? So we need people to get involved. We just do. And this warfare stuff is on my heart because I want to see people proclaiming the gospel and people coming to Christ. That's what I want to see. And I was encouraged today. I had lunch with a friend who left full-time ministry to become a bank teller of all things because he wanted to be obedient to the Lord. And he is the only Christian in his bank, you know, where he's at. And he's been witnessing to some people. Last night, his supervisor came to him and finally said, after about 9 minutes, she said, you know, I've got some real problems. Can we talk? That's frontline stuff. That's exciting. Okay, we're talking about the sword, knowing the Word of God. You need to be in the Word of God. If you're not reading through the Scriptures, it's kind of like going out into the field with the gun, but no ammunition. It's just, you have to be in the Word. 15 minutes a day, you read through the New Testament and the Old Testament in a year, easily. But you will probably hear more about that next week. Okay. Prayer, we talked about a little bit. There's an album out. I forgot all about this, and I was reminded of it just a minute ago. Petra, ever hear of Petra? They've got an album out called This Means War. And they've got a song on there that I love the title of. I mean, it's Get on Your Knees and Fight Like a Man. Get on your knees and fight like a man. And that's right. Prayer, the importance of prayer cannot be overstated, I guess. You trace through the Gospel of Luke every time it talks about prayer in relation to Jesus Christ. You will get hit dramatically with the importance of prayer in his life. You go through prayer in the book of Acts, you will be hit dramatically with the importance of prayer in the church. It seems like almost every time you turn around, they're together praying. They're praying, and things are happening. Right? So, if you're going to be a good soldier, you have to get on your knees and fight like a man. Now, I want to summarize a couple things here. The belt, the breastplate, the shield, the helmet, foot gear, and sword, and prayer. The reason I think, this is what he's talking about. When he says, put it on, keep it on. You don't put it on, take it off, put it on, take it off. It stays on. The belt and breastplate are your key protection. In other words, the belt and breastplate represent your lifestyle. Righteousness and truth. It means you live in a manner that's full of integrity, full of honesty. You're clean with God. That is not something you do occasionally. That is not something you do Sunday morning when you're going to go to church. That is not something you do because you're going to lead a Bible study Wednesday night, therefore I better get my act together. You have your act together now all the time. Now, I don't mean you're perfect, okay? What I mean is that you're clean, that you're living in a manner that is righteous. It protects your heart. It doesn't give the enemy a place to get in. The shield and the helmet, faith in your salvation. By the way, you should be thanking God for your salvation on a regular basis. If you don't, it grows old and stale. Shield and helmet are your security and your confidence when you go into battle. Imagine what it would be like to go into a warfare situation without your shield and they're shooting at you. You would not move with a lot of confidence. If you didn't have your helmet on, you'd always be worried about what's going to get you from above. Whether it's a bird or a stone or, you know. Okay. The shield and helmet, faith, believing God, and thanking God for your salvation is what gives you security and confidence. The foot gear and the sword, the gospel and the word of God, it gives you the ability to be aggressive and see victory. And prayer makes decisive victories possible, whether yours or a fellow soldier's. I'm going to be excited because I'm going to, one of the guys with lunch at with today, I pray for him on a regular basis. Now I know who to be praying for. And when those people, there's two in particular, if they come to Christ, I'm going to be pretty excited. Because I was directly involved in that. Prayer counts. Now notice, it's an interesting thing. We are not on constant attack, under constant attack, but we are to be constant in prayer. It's got to be like breathing. It's got to be like breathing. Talking to the Lord all the time. Our commander-in-chief. Now, here's a piece of equipment which is not listed, but it's vital. How can it be vital if it's not listed? Well, I'll let you guys decide that. And it is this. It is the will to fight. It is the will to fight. In World War II, you would take surveys of troops in their effectiveness. And there are two taken, one on Omaha Beach and another one. And the landing at Omaha Beach, they decided that five of the infantry companies were tactically effective. All right. And this is how they decided they were effective. They decided that because one out of every five men fired his weapon, they were tactically effective. By firing the weapon, I think they meant that they consistently used the weapon. That meant when there were five men in a foxhole, only one was shooting. That out of that number, out of something like 2,200 men or 3,000 men, something like that, 450 were fighting. In another survey, they figured that the best showing made by some companies in war was that one out of four had made some use of his firepower. Okay, being in the battle and fighting are not synonymous. They're not synonymous. You are in the battle. The world's the battlefield. But being in the battle and fighting are not the same. You have to have the will to fight. Ephesians 6 again, 11. He says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The purpose for the armor is that you can fight. The purpose of the armor is so you can stay in the battle and stay healthy. It's not so you can look nice. Remember David fighting Goliath? You know, they're lined up, the Philistines on one side of the valley, the Israelites on the other. For 30 or 40 days, Goliath keeps coming out and taunting them. And they don't move. Why don't they move? Why don't they do anything? Fear has robbed them of the will to fight. David comes along, and what does he say? Yeah, today's language would be, who is this turkey mocking God, mocking my commander-in-chief? Who is this guy? I'll take him. You know, and when you have a bunch of men in the army that don't want to fight, and they hear something like that, they go, oh, get this guy to the head honcho now. So they take him to Saul. And what's Saul say? Okay, but what's he telling him before he sends him out? Gives him his armor. It doesn't fit. And what's David say? Oh, you know, I'm sorry, this armor doesn't fit. I guess I can't fight. It's too big. He says, no, I'm not comfortable in this stuff. I'm going to put it aside. What was more important, the armor or the will to fight? The will to fight. David had it, and he went in the power of God, and Goliath regretted it. He had the biggest headache. So David took care of the headache. Took care of his head. Okay. You can have all the wonderful equipment in the world and fail if you haven't the will to fight. Afghanistan is a case in point. The Mujahideen have the will to fight. And after 9 or 10 years, they are winning the battle. You are in an army with a foe who opposes God's will wherever and whenever he can. And the things that he opposes most are the gospel and holy living. And you need to be actively promoting the gospel and holy living. There's a Matthew 6:33. Anyone know that? Go for it, John. You know that's a warfare verse? We don't quote it like that. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness means that I want to see the kingdom of God and his righteousness promoted. And where is that? Here. It's an evangelistic verse. Promote his kingdom, his will, his righteousness, i.e., I love Jesus Christ, and I want to do what he wants me to do. And he says, well, and I will take care of you. And that's a statement of a commander-in-chief, isn't it? You're in my army, you do what I tell you to do, and I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you. Now, Out of the Salt Shaker is a great book to read. I'd encourage you to read it if you have not read it, and if you have problems in terms of being with people and involved in people's lives, it will help you. I guess what I'm saying here is this, is that the battle we're talking about is for men and women. It is a battle that's so crucial, God sent His Son to die on a cross for you and me. It is so crucial that it's the last things that Jesus said, Matthew 28:19-20, is what? Go and make disciples of all nations. Take the world. Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you for what? To be my witnesses. Go. Do it. Now, let me throw something in here for a second. And that's this. If you are a casualty in the war, take heart. Okay? This could be a whole topic on itself, I'm sure. The church has been pretty bad about shooting its wounded. We're the only army in the world that does that, you know? Well, I don't want to haul them off. It takes too much work. Shoot them. All right. That's not the way God works. Okay. The Lord loves you very much, and He wants to see you recuperate. He doesn't want to see you burned out, struggling, dying out there in a foxhole. Okay. He cares very much about what's going on. Peter tells us that after you've suffered a while, that God Himself will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Because He'd like to see you back in the battle. Because that's why He left us here, folks. He didn't leave us here just for fun. He didn't leave us here just because He needed 2,000 more years to work on heaven. He's left us here because He has a mission to accomplish. The mission is to take Bellevue. The mission is to take Seattle, Washington, the United States, which, by the way, is becoming fast one of the most pagan countries in the world, and then to take the world. That's what He wants. But He can't do that when His soldiers are more concerned about getting involved in civilian affairs than about pleasing their commanding officer. Okay. The battle is very real. It's for hearts and souls of men and women. It has eternal consequences. Ever see, I think Keith Green had it on one of his album covers. There's an article by Leonard J. Ravenhill, and it's a drawing, maybe it was in Last Day's newsletter, probably Last Day's newsletter. It's a drawing of kind of a rock face out in the ocean, and the water's stormy and it's washing up against there, and there's a walkway around it, and on the walkway there are people in their tuxedos, guys in their tuxedos serving, people sitting down, and underneath that walkway there are people drowning. And over on the side you see maybe one or two people trying to reach out to all these people to bring them in. He says, that's a vision that God gave him of the church. Vision that God gave him of the church. The battlefield, folks, there are eternal consequences. You've got to get a hold of them. And the battlefield's the world, and here are your weapons. Prayer and the gospel. Prayer and the gospel. And I will tell you what your objective is. It is this. You are to take as much territory as possible right where you are. Whether it's at work, or with your children, or with neighbors, or with friends, assuming that you are obedient where you are, that's what he's called you there for. You need to be credible as an architect or as an engineer or whatever you do, not to just be credible. You need to be credible so that you earn the right to share the gospel. It's got to be forefront in your mind because it's forefront in his. You've got to be willing to reach out and get involved in people's lives where you are. If you're a mother at home, that means loving the socks off your kids, giving yourself to them. By the way, let's turn to Revelation chapter 12. These guys are soldiers. Let's pick it up in verse 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough. Okay, that kind of answers part of your question there, right? He was not strong enough. Where do we go? Boom. And they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. It's worship. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. They overcame him, and they did so by the blood of the Lamb, i.e., the gospel, by the word of their testimony, what God had done in their lives, and by the fact that they said, I would rather stand on that than live. Yes?
What does it mean by he knows his time is short? He doesn't know the future.
He doesn't know the future. But he doesn't know in terms of times. Yeah, he knows things aren't going well. That's right. He lost the coup. Now he's running. And he's going to work as much havoc as he can before the coup is finally stamped out. All right.
Does he have a choice? He's kind of off the subject.
Yeah, of course he does. He made the choice to revolt against God. But he's not going to turn back from that. So, okay. The gospel, testimony, and loving Jesus Christ more than the Christian life. It's crucial. I really like this verse. It's Amy Carmichael. Any of you know who Amy Carmichael was? Okay. She was a missionary to India. Do you know how easy it is to be a missionary to India? And then throw in the fact that you're a woman. She used to tell God, when she was a little girl, she was really upset that God gave her brown eyes. So she'd get up in the mirror and she'd pray and say, God, I want blue eyes. Give me blue eyes. She says, I got up and looked in the mirror and my eyes were still brown and I was really upset with God. And I told him, And it was then that I learned that no is an answer to prayer. Turned out, had she been blue-eyed, she couldn't have been a missionary to India. They accepted her, thinking that she was Indian. She went for 50 years without a furlough. She had profound effects on the children especially. She started hospitals. Our neighbors, in fact, are Indian. We mentioned Amy Carmichael to the husband once. And he said, you know, I think my sister was born in a hospital she started. And she said, this is one of my favorite hymns. And I don't know the name of the hymn. I don't know the rest of the stanzas. But this is one of her favorites. It goes like this. What if I stand with the winners or perish with those that fall? Only the cowards are sinners. Fighting the fight is all. Strong is my foe who advances. Snapped is my blade, O Lord. See their proud banners and lances, but spare me the stub of a sword. She was a warrior. And I hope that some of you will be like her. At Boeing or in your firm, on the ship, whatever you're doing, that you will have a heart that says, Lord, spare me the stub of the sword, because even if they get me, they're doing me a favor. I'm coming home to you. Let's pray. Father God, when will we learn that what's on your heart isn't social hours? It isn't nice little meetings where we eat cookies and talk, but it's getting out to where the people are, the ones you sacrificed your son for. It's talking with our neighbor over the fence and inviting them to come to church, or just sharing with them what you have done in our lives. Father God, I pray for much grace. I know there are casualties from the battle, and if anyone here is a casualty, I ask God that the people around would encourage and strengthen and help that individual, that they might recoup and be strong, that you yourself would restore them. And Father, I pray for those who are in the battle that you would strengthen, that you would encourage them, Father, that they would sense tonight a well done, good and faithful servant. And Father, if there are some of us who are not being obedient in some area, I pray that you'd make that clear and help us to be. In Christ's name, amen.